Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are hanging out on Canton Street in Roswell. If you are in the area, come on through. We'd love to get a chance to see you, meet you, Mike. We've already met a few of our listeners and folks just hanging out today.
We got Casey over here. We got the crew from when I had my United tickets over here at 208. If you got kids now, what is it, fall break right now?
It is.
So if you're divorced and your wife has the kids, a perfect chance for some single dads to come on down or vice versa. But we'll be here, guys, at Loyal Tavern. I have not been up here in a minute. I know, Carl, this is just minutes away from your home. But what an amazing entertainment district this is here right on Canton Street.
No doubt, man. I was telling Day-Day, our executive producer, and Gordon, who is our engineer, you know, they do a night out in Roswell up here, and it's great during the spring and the fall when the weather's nice. And everybody's out. They changed the laws up here. You can, you know, it feels like Bourbon Street, man. You can walk the streets and have a cocktail. So it's a good time. But we're at Loyal Tavern. It's right here. You can't miss us on Canton Street, right across from Zest and Little Alley, if you've ever been there. Great steak spot as well. But we'll be here until 6, guys. We got a lot to get to, Mike. Tomorrow, by the way, we'll be in Athens getting you ready for Georgia, Alabama. And we're going to talk plenty about that today as well. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up. Let us know what you're thinking because it's still front and center. And I got here today, and Mike said to me, did you see? I said, see what? He said, Jaden Daniels practiced today. And I said, look, I like our odds going into Sunday. I do think they're going to play a lot better. I know many of you don't believe that.
Right.
But if Jaden Daniels does play for the Commanders, it changes things, Mike. He's a difference maker. He is a much better quarterback. It's not even close to Marcus Mariota. And Mariota did a great job for him last week. But I don't know what's going to happen there, Mike. And if he plays, we got to prepare for both of these guys. But I'm like silently praying that Jaden Daniels doesn't play.
Look, J.J. McCarthy made our defense look like world beaters, okay? We're not as good as what Minnesota made us look like. We're also not as bad, I think, as what happened up in Carolina. But one thing with Jaden Daniels, with his elusiveness there, and again, maybe not optimal elusiveness because of the injury, but that's a little more Baker Mayfield. And we let Baker Mayfield beat us at the last, you know, series of the game. So, look, refs score some points. All this stuff starts. Our defense will be fine. You know, they'll allow a touchdown or two, but they're going to do their job. This offense has got to be on track. Everybody around the NFL, everybody on social media, there's memes aplenty making fun of Zach Robinson, making fun of our offense, our offensive ineptitude, our inability to get Penix in a position.
I mean, actually, we need to score more points.
Exactly right, Arthur Smith. So this offense is, look, when you fire your wide receiver coach in week 3, who's also, you know, passing game coordinator, you better get some results because if you go into this bye week, Carl, 1-3, I mean, I know Arthur Blank will be watching. Everybody in the management team will be going, what the hell's going on here?
So what we're telling you, Atlanta, is this is a must-win.
This is a must-win game.
Period. This is a must-win. I don't want to hear about, oh, it's week 4. I don't want to hear about, they got the bye week. I don't want to hear about down the road, it'll be better. This is a must-win. And we've come to that conclusion with everything that's transpired this week. We were at Flowery Branch yesterday, and we're going to talk more about what Ra told us and certainly what we learned up there. But bottom line is, we got to win on Sunday. And I don't care what it looks like. Well, yes, I do care what it looks like.
Can we score 3 touchdowns? I mean, offensively?
So here's the thing.
In a game?
This is why I care. Mike, if we get a pick 6, this is all hypothetical, a scoop and a score. Scoop and score!
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we get 2 field goals. And let's just say we win the game, but the offense doesn't score a touchdown, and yet we win. We'll be happy, but I'll still be disappointed because the offense is still not doing anything.
Right. Now, we did beat the Saints at home last year the same fashion. A bad special team screw up inside the five-yard line, and we had a Troy Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had a pick six. You know, and I mean, we actually did it that way defensively in special teams. At this point, fans just want to get back on the track with a win. But Ray McLeod, Falcons wide receiver, the quote today, and thanks to Josh Kendall, he had it. When you lose 30-0, the mindset better switch. Everybody's job is on the line. Urgency better kick in or nobody is going to be here.
He ain't lying. He's not lying. Like, from the top all the way to the bottom. Because here's the domino effect of what potentially could happen. Guys, we're live at Loyal Tavern here in Roswell, right off of Canton Street. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. If this goes bad, and it could, which is why it's a must-win game on Sunday, Mike, you're talking about changing at the top, which changes everything. Because if you change general managers, guess what? The new general manager comes in and says, well, got to reevaluate all this talent.
And I didn't hire this coach. And I didn't hire this coaching staff.
And none of these guys I drafted.
Right.
So from the top to the bottom, Atlanta, you're almost starting over if that was to happen. It's beyond just bringing in another head coach. Now, I think talented guys like Bijan and some of these other – Drake, they're going to be here. But when you start talking about evaluating jobs – if this goes bad, and what we're saying is, if you don't win on Sunday, you go into the bye week, you come out of the bye week, we got a game against the Buffalo Bills, and Josh Allen, the best quarterback in the NFL right now, and if you lose that game, you're talking about being 1-5?
4.
1-4?
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
No, I mean, look, we've seen other teams around the league, like, again, the Chiefs, everybody's writing the Chiefs off, and maybe they don't come back. But you still give them a fighting chance because they got Patrick Mahomes. They got a great defensive coordinator. They've been there and done that. And maybe they'll get healthier and they'll get better at the wideouts. But, you know, they've been there. There are certain teams, like, for instance, if the Dolphins start 1-4, you give them no shot.
Zero.
And we're in that same boat. There's no confidence equity, for lack of a better word, built in from the fan base or nationally in that team.
What do you guys think? Because Mike's right. We need to go from the laughingstock of look how hilarious the Falcons offense is to, wow, look how many points they scored and look how efficient they looked and look how they executed. Can we move the needle that much? And what is going to satisfy you to make you feel better? Is it a touchdown? Is it 21 points to Mike's point? Or is it, hey, man, if they don't score 4 touchdowns on Sunday, we got a problem.
Guy hit me up today. I just mentioned we're at Loyal Tavern here in Roswell. Guy says, hey, Mike, Carl, would Eric Bieniemy be a good replacement for Zach Robinson? I said, hell, at this point, I would take a hologram of Bill Walsh to call plays for our team. I mean, that's where we're off in the weeds we are right now.
Yes, we are. And by the way, we might as well be 1-5 if we do lose Sunday, because I got to tell you, after the Bills, you know who we get? Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers.
Yeah, West Coast swing, and that's going to be a tough game because those guys, despite all the injuries, 7 starters out, as you pointed out yesterday, they're 3-0.
All right. So how did we get right? How do they fix it? I want you to hear a couple of things from Raheem Morris. That's on the way. We're live again in Roswell. We're going to talk plenty about the Dogs today because the great Barbara Dooley's coming on. And I know she's got things to say about this game with Alabama.
Why do you hate Alabama so much?
I don't hate them, but, Mike, I do think they're going to take an L on Saturday night. And, look, I think they'll probably play their best game. I don't think they played their best. That's the scary thing for Dog fans. Alabama's not played their best game. They played good. But even in the win last week or, you know, before their bye, I didn't feel like they played their best. I think Georgia's going to get their best game.
You and I were talking about this. Check out our pre-show. We do a little pre-show deal. It's on Twitch and on YouTube TV. It airs around 11:10. We give you a heads up on Twitter when it's coming out. But we did it today, and I was telling Carl, these teams kind of mirror each other. Now, granted, Georgia hasn't lost a game in Alabama. That game plan against Florida State, you know, credit Florida State's defense. But both teams have got explosive wide receivers. Both plays give up big plays in the passing game. Both teams have no pass rush right now. Which pass rush is going to emerge on Saturday? The weather may still be a concern if it rains, too.
Yeah, coming up later this hour, the great David Pollack is going to join us. 3-time All-American. We'll talk with the Georgia legend about his thoughts about this game. And look, I think it was Pollack was one of the first guys saying
it. Right, he said it. Where's the beef?
They're not getting any pass rush. And if you're not getting any pass rush from the guys you expect to get pass rush from, now you have to do something Kirby doesn't like to do. Blitz, right? Now you're drawing up things. Kirby's philosophy, even when he was at Alabama, and Nick Saban, too. Guys, we're so good up front, we're going to get pressure with our front four.
Right.
And our linebackers can roam and do all the things we want them to do. When you start sending backers and safety blitz and all that, now you're opening yourself up for different things the offense can do to you. So I'm curious to see how Kirby deals with this. But Pollock's going to join us at around 2:40 today. Stay tuned for that. Also, along the way, guys, as we get, again, big show. We got a lot to get to. We'll continue to talk about something that we were talking about yesterday, Mike, and that is, you know, with this football team and the Falcons specifically, I don't think there are many worries about the defense. The defense has been really good. But what are the expectations now that you feel like some of this stuff has been addressed? I don't know if it's all been addressed, but some of this stuff. And that's part of this conversation, guys. You can't change everything in 4 days.
No, that's the thing. I mean, firing your wide receiver coach, passing game. So the guy that was part of the passing game has been fired. So T.J. Yates, who's been around – and, you know, played quarterback at the NFL. Now he apparently has that on his shoulders. What changes? What is going on with our wide receivers? Are they healthy? You and I are of the opinion, and again, Coach said it, Zach Robinson said, Darnell Mooney is basically in what the quote was ramp up, period, Carl.
Missed camp.
Since he missed all of camp. So how, and that's why I come back to the scapegoating thing with Ike Hilliard. If you've got two receivers that aren't 100%, you're going to fire a guy? To me, that's jive. And if I was a player on that team, I would think it's jive. Hopefully, they've got a stronger culture that doesn't fester. But you better go out there and win. And they better figure out how to get Michael Penix to get the ball out quicker, get the ball out. Carl, if the vertical's been taken away, there's more options. We've got players who can beat guys one-on-one.
Yeah.
We'll get the explosive play. It'll just be yards after the catch.
Correct.
Why haven't they pivoted to that?
That answer is unknown. I have no idea why we haven't done more of that. I will tell you this, though. Michael Penix is a leader. And I'm not saying that because I like the kid, and I do. I think you know this. But Jesse Bates said during that game, yesterday actually at practice, that Michael Penix walked over to the defense and said, yo, that game was on me. I got to play better. This is a guy that's played in 6 games.
Right.
Sometimes he may not know if he's coming or going, but the courage, Mike, and the balls to walk over to the defense and say, look, my fault, I didn't do enough in that game, it's on me, I've got to play better. All of those defensive guys, and Jesse Bates told the story, he was like, it meant a lot to us.
Right. This isn't, and again, I'm not trying to pick on Caleb Williams, but some of the things he didn't say in year one in Chicago, which gets the city and some of the guys in that locker room going, what have we got the right guy? He's a leader, he owned it. Look, he was frustrated with the offense. I think frustration bore the flat-footed throws as opposed to better mechanics. That's something that's easily cleaned up. But, we were telling the listeners, and certainly after what we saw against the Commanders last year on Sunday Night Football, this guy looks like he belongs in the NFL. We knew there was going to be a game like this. We just didn't know the entire team was going to collapse around him.
Was he fired for performance, or was there something else to it? We'll let you hear what Ra told us yesterday when we come back live at Loyal Tavern on Canton Street in Roswell. It's Duke's.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bell. At Loyal Tavern, guys, right in my backyard in Roswell. Big shout out to John Parla hanging out with us as we're here right on Canton Street. Would love to see you guys come through. We'll be here until 6. And reminder, each Wednesday night, join Day-Day Lewis. Yes, that's Day-Day, our Day-Day. For Prep Sports Nation, guys, a comprehensive look at all the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation, Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Day-Day sounding, I got to be honest, a little bit nervous about making it down to the south side for his responsibilities with high school football, as we're at Loyal Tavern here on Canton Street in Roswell. Where do you got
to
be?
Yeah, I'll be heading down to Terra Stadium to check out Jonesboro taking on Central, big region game.
Yeah.
So it's a good
– What time do you guys plan on getting down there?
Kickoff is at 7. I'm assuming I'll be there by 7:30 because right now –
Are you leaving now?
GPS says 1 hour, 10 minutes right now.
Wow.
So
even GPS, Carl's being optimistic.
You know, I'll say this, though. That damn Waze, man. It don't lie.
Yeah.
I've tried and tried. I'm right. Like, it's not 40 minutes. It's 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It does not matter. You can go as fast as you want. I'm like, I'm in traffic. I'm going to make it. 40 minutes.
From Flowery Branch to exit 56 on 85 on the south side of town, that was 1 hour and 22 minutes. Carl, I did beat Waze by 7 minutes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good. It's rare. I mean, seriously, it's like, all right, I know I can make it faster than that. But the point is, you probably are going to be right on point with
that. You
ever
cheat in the hub lane?
I don't cheat.
When you're solo?
I pay for it.
No, not the diamond lane, not the peach pass lane, when that goes back to being a multi-person vehicle lane.
Yeah, I have a dummy in the car.
Well, back in the day, certain guys of a certain age might not remember this, but in Washington, D.C., I was working for a station back then. A guy got pulled over day. He had a mannequin riding shotgun so he could be in the diamond lane. That was back in 1993 or 2. But, no, I did. It was funny. I passed a state trooper, and I came up and was like, oh, crap, that's it. And he just kind of looked at me. I guess he was going home.
Oh, yeah. Look, plus they've jacked the rates. By the way, how do we get on this? Oh, Day-Day's got a trip to make.
Day-Day's got to make a time-efficient way to get out of Roswell in about 4 hours.
Yeah, good luck. They have raised the rates on the peach passes and all that stuff anyway. So I'm just like, all right, well, I'm going to do it anyway. But that's me. I don't suggest you guys do that. But
right.
Everything's gone up. Everything's gone up. All right, with that said, man.
$4. $4 from Swanee?
Well, here's the deal. The rates depend on the traffic.
The volume. Well, that's smart. It is smart. You know, in Los Angeles, their version of that, it goes for as much as $15 on the way home.
Ooh. But yeah. I'd pay it. Out there?
If you're on the 101?
I would pay it. Hey, man, coming up, David Pollock's going to join us. We're going to talk dogs here in about 15 minutes, and we'll find out what Pollock thinks about not only this version of the dogs, but also Alabama. That is the opponent on Saturday night. Big college football matchup. There are a ton of them, by the way. Georgia, I think, is obviously one of the premier matchups. We'll get into that with Pollock along the way. Hey, man, hanging out. Loyal Tavern, come through and hang out with us. We'd love to see you. This hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. Back at the studio, Big O, let's get to the Daily Download. So how Raheem Morris addressed the reason for moving on from Mike Hilliard, was it satisfactory for you? For some Falcon fans, it was like, okay. For other Falcon fans, they're like, come on, man. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't seem right. Here's what he said, Mike, in regards to the firing itself. He told us this. He told the media this yesterday. And the fact that this only had to do with one thing, performance.
Yeah, performance-based, just like everything in his business that you want to make those decisions on. We're going a different direction, going in that direction with moving TJ into that room, being able to get some of the things that we need to get done in there as far as the detail, all the things that we want to get done in there from a bigger scale of our offense and getting better and doing all those different things. So tough decisions, people business, hard for me, hard for the organization, you know, hard on Ike's family, but decision I felt I needed to make at this time, and we did.
So, you know, he says in that soundbite, to pay attention to detail more. All right, I said this to Mike in our pre-show that you guys can watch on a daily basis, by the way, around 11:15. It's live everywhere, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter Live.
You go back and watch it on Twitch, right?
Yeah, and I said to Mike, part of this, I believe, is, look, I'm not going to debate whatever Ra is saying. We're not in the building, right? But the other part of it is that if these wide receivers, as Dave Archer has said to us earlier this week, aren't getting off the line of scrimmage, Mike. They're not running their routes the way they need to, which obviously affects the timing of Michael Penix getting ready to get rid of the football. This is a trickle-down. And if that is happening, okay, then Ike Hilliard wasn't doing his job. Like, there is something to be said about why are the wide receivers running, you know, half-blank routes when they need to be getting off the line of scrimmage and trying to make this easier on, on your rookie quarterback.
But are they healthy? Well, I mean, there's no excuse.
I don't know.
You and I talk about this all the time. It could be hockey, basketball, football, any sport. If you are on the field, you're expected to perform, right?
Yes.
Right? We know that you know, yes, you're not 100%, but you're out there. There's an expectation. So are they running crappy routes? Are they not where they're supposed to be? So what worked last year that now doesn't work this year? Because I know it was Kirk Cousins for what? The lion's share, three quarters of the season. And then Penix finished it out. But Penix, you know, showed you some – hell, he went for 300-some-odd yards in the last game of the season with basically the same core group on offense. So that's why
– and threw for 298 without Darnell Mooney in game
one. Correct, against Tampa Bay. And that's why and I know that we always try to separate, and my motto is everything on a case-by-case basis. But this is where Falcon fans, long-suffering Falcon fans, say – Here we go. A coach is playing politics. He's throwing somebody under the bus because he came off a really embarrassing loss. And the problem is bigger than just one coach. And I have to agree with those people because I feel the same way.
You asked about whether it's going to fester in the wide receiver room. This is Raheem Morris to us yesterday talking about the state of that room.
I'm going to say I wanted a different direction. I wanted to handle those things the right way. I wanted to be able to go in that room and present to those guys the right way to get the things that we want to get done. Not just we, them as well, right? They have high goals. They have high expectations. We just talked about these guys having three guys in that room with career years the year before, and we want to get those things right. Right now we got wideouts without touchdowns. Right now we got wideouts that are craving the ball, and it's not just Mike. It's not just them, and there's no blame going around. Now, obviously, when you got to make moves like that, it feels like it. Obviously, when you got to make moves like that, you got to make changes in direction to decisions, it feels that way. But I got to make direction to decisions for the leaders for our group, right? You need to have the environment. You need to have the coaching. You need to have the detail. You need to have everything right in order to get your offense in the right direction.
Yeah, look, he's not lying about that. I just wonder if I could have been a fly on the wall in that Monday morning meeting with the owner, Arthur Blank, and he's saying, how do we not have a wide receiver without a touchdown? How?
Why are you drafting these number one picks and we're getting nothing from offense? Please, Carl, I'll ask the questions. I'm paying the bills around here.
I wish I could have heard.
But that's why, again, I have nothing to base this. This is purely from the gut. So, there, you know, when you do social media or talk radio, what's your source? No, my source is my gut. I just think somebody from
up
top.
Well, unless somebody tells you.
Right.
State your source.
And sometimes we get a source. But, no, I just felt that, like, this is just kind of making excuses for the management, making excuses for Arthur Blank. Please don't fire me. I know this was a humiliating loss. It was his fault. And when you look at guys to fire, you're not going to fire some of the younger assistants because you jam them up. That's a red flag for the rest of their career on their resume. You go to your OG. You go to Ike Hilliard. You go, hey, man, bro, I'm sorry, man.
Are you saying he was his fall guy?
Yes, 100%.
I got to
cut somebody loose, and I'm going to go with you because I know you're going to land on your feet because your rep is rock solid in the NFL. But I can't cut anybody else loose, so you're going to be the man the hammer comes down on.
404-760-929.
It's called Atlanta Sports. It's called Atlanta Sports.
Wait a minute.
It's called Atlanta Sports.
Wait a minute, Trey. I forgot about that.
State your source.
My source is my belly, and it's a good-sized belly. No, my source is my gut, and it's why the Braves moved on from the third base coach. Sometimes you just do window dressing to appease the fan base, and it's silly.
Well, it didn't work, by the way, that whole coaching, hitting coach thing. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. One other thing about the Falcons, Michael Penix, what does he think about Zach Robinson coming to the sidelines? This is a part of this weekend that we'll all be watching, right? Sunday we'll all be – Zach will be on the sideline, and we'll be like, look, they're talking. They're communicating. Here's our quarterback talking about it.
Yeah, it'll be good just to be able to have him to talk to on the sideline, you know, to so he can tell us what he's seeing as well and why he's calling certain plays, you know, in the series that's coming up. So it should be good.
Yeah, look, I didn't like last week when the kid was down and nobody was coming over to him and talking with him or at least talking him up. Nobody had one of those Microsoft pads and were looking, hey, bro, look at this play. Look at what they're trying to – he was just sitting on the bench. And every time they showed him, I was like, damn, that's making us look like dreadful.
Now, maybe Yates was there. We didn't catch it.
Correct.
But you're right. To the fan, all we can go is what you see unless you're at the game.
It was brutal, man. So, look, I have no issues with this move, by the way. I just, as I said to Ry yesterday, I don't know if it's going to work. Now, all this stuff is great. If it works – but I don't know if it's going to work. Meanwhile, what else is going on, guys? We were talking about this with our pre-show as well today. And, again, asking you and telling you, tell your friends about it. It's great. Mike, we're not talking a lot of baseball because our team's not going to be in the playoffs. But Seattle wins its first division since 2001. That was Ichiro's rookie season.
Wow.
And then on top of that, look, this Kyle Riley kid, this guy, the dumpster, right?
Florida State.
He is incredible. 60 home runs. And then you talk about Aaron Judge hits 50 home runs to become the first Yankee to have back-to-back 50 home run season since Babe Ruth.
Wow. 4 years of that. That's insane. But the Mariners are a hell of a story. To me, the biggest story, and again, because – and I think I speak for a lot of Braves fans, unless, Carl, you feel differently, and Day-Day, it's just when your team's not in it, when you're not fighting for something. Last year, the Braves were going down the wire just to make that wild card, and I don't think we had any expectations against the Padres. They were a clearly better team, but you were still engaged. When your team is out right after the All-Star break – I can't wait for football season. So I have really no interest in the World Series. I didn't really watch the Yankees and the Dodgers. I didn't watch 9 innings of any of those games last year. You could say it's your job, Mike. Nope, no, it's not. But at this same point, I'm at the point now, I'm kind of pulling for the Brewers as a Cinderella story. But to me, the most compelling story in Major League Baseball are the Guardians. 15 and a half out after the All-Star break.
It's the best story.
And they own the tiebreaker. And the way things play out, Tigers play them on the road. They'll have the home field advantage.
It's the best story in baseball. And the reason is because the last time it happened was 1914. The biggest deficit, and we overcame a 10-game deficit against the Mets a few years ago, right. And we were like, holy crap. 15 and a half games has never happened.
Yankees were 14 and a half. It was a little bit later in July, but to me, this is right up there.
It's great. I'm with you. All right, man. Coming up, David Pollack. What's he think about the Dogs this weekend against Alabama? Find out next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big, big game this weekend in Athens, and we're so happy and proud to be able to talk to this dude, man. He's a friend of the show. He is a stud.
A 3-time All-American.
That, too. His name is David Pollack, and Pollack, man, always appreciate you giving us a few minutes to talk some Dogs. And Mike and I were saying, I think you were the first guy, man, a few weeks back saying, hey, look, I'm concerned about this pass rush as we get ready for Alabama. Tell us what you're seeing, what you think, what's going on, and why they're not generating any pressure, and can that change on Saturday?
Yeah, I think you see, you know, the Tennessee game, you saw, you know, they brought 3, they brought 4, didn't really get home, they bring 6. Here's another problem, didn't really get home, you know, like, So how do you find ways to pressure the passer? And a lot of times when they brought more, you know, it led to the big touchdown plays down the field because, you know, if you have to bring more, it means you have to play man coverage, right? So I think that, you know, I think Georgia's defense will get better. I think it will improve. I think they'll find their guys and who they are that can rush the passer, who they are that can cover. I think it's good sometimes, too, to have a little bit of a bad game where coaches can hold that over you and make you focus more and use more detail. But, yeah, I think the pass rush is a legitimate concern. Who can win the one-on-one battle? Can Christian Miller win them inside? Who can win them outside? Like, a lot of new faces on this Georgia defense. I think I'm still trying to figure out who's the best pass rusher. Who's the guy that can get to the QB, affect him, and make life really hard on him? Last year, we knew it was Jalen Walker. You know, you knew Mykal Williams could do that. This year, like, we're still finding out, I think, who that guy is.
Right. I mean, statistically, it's Chris Cole, but you're right. And, Dave, on the flip side, Alabama has got the same amount of sacks as Georgia, just 4. So they're not bringing the heat either.
No, they haven't been great. Now, they've had a lot of pressures. I mean, I think their second game, they had 14 pressures and 0 sacks, which is really hard to do. But they're more of a they're more of a zone coverage team. They're not super aggressive. Like, that's just kind of who they are now as a squad and what their defense is, you know, post Nick Saban. But no, they've got some guys too that, you know, Big Tim in the middle's been out, and he's going to be back this week for the game. And he's one of the bigger forces. Overton has to continue to play better, but like, I think both these teams, they're very mirror images of each other. And I say that, and I know that sounds kind of weird, but like, they both haven't gotten a lot of sacks. They both haven't ran the football well or protected their quarterback great. So, like, I think there's, you know, this isn't the Alabama-Georgia game where we saw them, you know, many a times, Nick and Kirby, when they were in their prime, and you're talking about dudes all over the field that are kicking the crap out of everybody. I think both these teams still feeling who they are. And Ty Simpson now, he had 20 incompletions against FSU. Homeboy had 5 the last 2 weeks. Like, he's starting to figure it out. Gunnar Stockton figured it out in Knoxville. So, like, I think the offenses both have a chance to, because of the lack of pass rush, have a chance to become explosive on who can protect their quarterback in passing situations.
David Pollack, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, guys talking dogs and getting ready for the game on Saturday night in Athens. Speaking of Knoxville, what surprised you the most, Dave, in that comeback win in the way that they did? Was it the resiliency? Was it Gunnar Stockton? I mean, what surprised you the most, Georgia win?
I mean, y'all knew they were going to go score 40 and give up 40, right? Like, y'all knew that was going to happen. I assumed Kirby's defense would be, you know, the story that they would keep him in the game, and that would be, you know, that would be the key to victory. But, you know, sometimes you got to be able to win in a multitude of ways, and Gunnar Stockton was a surprise to me. Like, you know, throwing on time, he was getting beat to crap. The kid doesn't care. He doesn't flinch. I think the running game, what sticks out to me is they've got a bunch of backs, you know, maybe not one that's elite of elite, like just one of the better backs in the country, but I think they got 3 or 4 that you feel really good that they're going to run their tail off and get more yards than they're blocked. So that's a great thing. Like, the playmakers out wide are really, really good. So I learned that if Georgia's defense struggles, Gunner and company can carry them. And it's got to be a certain way, though, guys. Like, it can't be – like, Gunner – put it like this: eras in his era at Georgia, he has had one quarterback that has rushed for 10 yards, he has one quarterback that has rushed the ball 10 times or more. It's Gunnar Stockton, and he's done it 3 times already. Like, so it just shows you it's a part of the game plan. Like, they're going to spread you out. They're going to run QB run. He's not some freak elite athlete, but he's going to run it strong. He's going to run it tough, and I think, you know, Gunnar Stockton's passing ability that he showed you in Knoxville in the clutch in a big moment, that's got to give you a lot of hope to say, like, this passing game can continue to grow and get better.
David Pollack, guys, 3-time All-American with us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Dukes and Bell live from the Loyal Tavern here in Roswell. Dave, I'm not expecting Mike Bobo to reinvent the wheel. And by the way, Dave, Carl, all those years I used to complain about Bobo,
yes,
Pollack got an earful. I had nothing to complain about Bobo up in Knoxville. Would he take anything from Gus Malzahn's game plan? Because Castellanos and some of that read option had Alabama going sideways.
Yeah, I would love to say yes, but you ain't got that freak. I mean, Tommy, like, you can play touch football in an elevator with Tommy and lose. Like, that dude is just, you know, free rushers coming off the edge. They couldn't even put a hand on him. So, you know, different type of, like, you're going to see the zone read. Now, here's what I'm seeing from Georgia. Georgia's offense looks to me like it's got a little bit of elements of Todd Monken at Baltimore and the way he uses Lamar Jackson. I'd be willing to bet that Bobo's talked to Todd Monken a little bit. And how have you used Lamar's feet? How do you design that? Because they don't want to live in it in the NFL either. Like, you want to minor in it. You don't want to major
right
in it. And so I think, you know, finding a way to continue to use that. Listen, anybody who gripes about Bobo after the Tennessee game, you're an idiot. You're a moron. You're dumb. Like, now here's the only criticism I'll take. If you want to ask me about the red zone play calling, wasn't the greatest. Like, we're not going to line up and pound people. Now, there was also some QB run that I liked, but there was also the 2-point conversion that was dialed up that was absolutely gorgeous, knowing how Tennessee's going to banjo that and switch off, and then but Brandt's getting inside with that detail and then getting out to get the 2-point conversion. But, I mean, listen, Bobo gets a lot of heat. If you give him heat for that last game, I got nothing for you. You're going to be pissing and moaning the rest of the year because dude just –
went into somebody else's stadium and dropped 40-plus.
Agreed. It's David Pollack, guys. Pollack, the dude I'm worried about because he gave us reason to worry last year, and then he's coming off of a 5-reception, 165-yard game with 2 touchdowns, is Ryan Williams. Now, he may not be, and Kirby said this week, you know, the Jermaine Bernard kid is pretty impressive, but Ryan Williams is so explosive, and he killed you last time you saw him. What are you trying to do to limit his touches or at least, you know, limit his explosive plays?
Yeah, Jeremy Bernard is more of the guy that's the really elite, like, running back type guy. Like, I can throw it short. He's going to break a tackle. Ryan Williams is the throw it deep guy. Let him catch the football. He's going to make somebody look silly. So it's really nice to have both. You know, like Bernard has a little bit of Bell a couple years ago when he was thicker and playing running back and just catching things and breaking tackles, like Deebo Samuel type element to his game. The answer is Ty Simpson is still a young quarterback. Ty Simpson doesn't see the whole field yet. Now, I'm not insulting Ty Simpson, but he's going to get to the point where he'll be able to go through progressions better. But you just got to continue to change the picture, you know, pre-snap versus post-snap. Like, make him hold on to the ball a little bit. But his feet will get a little bit happy. But if he knows where to go with the ball and you don't make the picture cloudy, you're in for a long night. Like a long night. And here's the great thing. You're at home. It's a night game. Plenty of time to get, you know, plenty of liquid courage in you. Get loud. Like, as a pass rusher, it's so beautiful when you know the snap count. And I say that, you'll know the snap count. Because the crowd's so loud, the guard's going to look into the center, tap him on the butt, and he's going to lift his head and snap it in 1-1000, 2-1000. Like, that's the way it works. And so that's a big-time advantage. You know, them not being able to communicate as well. But Alabama's run game hasn't been Alabama's run game. I'm interested to see, too, just, you know, if they're going to be aggressive, try to throw the football the majority of the time, you know, how is Georgia going to respond and get pressure on the quarterback?
Hey, Dave, because I know you how much you love gambling, if the weather is a factor, do you feel this is a high-scoring game? Or if the rain comes into effect, or do you think, because if the defenses can't do the job, it seems like a lot of points.
Yeah, I think, you know, DeBoer, it's interesting. He's 2-4 on the road. When they've scored over 35 points, they're 8-0. I think this is a first one of 30 type game. So I think it's more high scoring. Now,
okay.
Like Georgia has a chance with the way they're running the football, with the guys that can run the football. Maybe they can possess it a little bit more, and maybe they can shorten the game some. But, no, I think it's high scoring. And remember, when it rains, it's always advantage offense. Because you know where you're going. The defense doesn't. So, like, as long as it's not monsooning. And that's what happened to Alabama. Like, you know, week one against Florida State. They thought Florida State was going to suck. They didn't had no clue that Tommy and Gus were going to come in and run roughshod and make big plays. They get down, and then it starts monsooning, and you got to throw it every play. So, like, I'm interested to see, man. Georgia's got the pressure of the Bama thing because Kirby's got 19 losses, and 6 of them are to Alabama. 6. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot. That's like 30-something percent, right? Like, that's a lot of losses to one team. Well, Alabama's already lost their mulligan. They've already got beat down. Like, they've been told how bad they were, and, you know, so many people, you know, putting dirt on the grave and showing clips of, like, how they're just ball knowers and they just know everything. Look at this effort. This would never happen. Like, you can pick out any clip on any defense to show some loafing. Like, that happens. That's not a news flash. So both sides, like, Georgia has the Alabama thing. Alabama has the we've already lost and can't really afford to lose much more. And, you know, you haven't seen them coming to Athens very often. And that's a big deal. There's a reason Georgia's got a 33-game winning streak at home.
Pollack, who are you buying in the top 10? Because I don't think there is a dominant team this year. Like, even with Ohio State being ranked 1, they go out. You know, I think they're playing Washington this week. Washington is underrated to me. But who are you buying? Are you buying LSU or Penn State? Are you buying what you're seeing with the U, who's 4-0? Do you believe any of this?
Yeah. Give me Miami, bro. I mean, I love what I'm seeing from them. You talk about turning on tape and going, yes, please. Like, offensive line and defensive line for Miami. Like, they want to rip your face off, and I am here for it. Like, I love the physicality. I love people that don't like people. Like, I love them. I want them on my football team. And their offensive and defensive lines are two of the best in the country. Carson Beck being protected, having time, you know, that he's able to flourish and thrive, especially with a young receiver like Tony, who's a freshman baller out wide. Like, I love what I'm seeing from Miami. They've done it against really good competition. They've been consistent. They have a bye week. Then they got Florida State next week, and that's going to tell us a lot about the rest of the season. But, right. I mean, I am very bullish on Miami and what I've seen so far.
And speaking of the ACC, Dave, by the way, when you were a three-star recruit, did O'Leary at Tech want you to play like fullback or something? What do you think of Georgia Tech with Brent Key? And I think they kind of check a lot of boxes right now.
They do. And so O'Leary recruited me as an H-back to Georgia Tech. When I was calling games with ESPN years ago, like O'Leary, I was in his office. He was at Central Florida. And he's like, yeah, Pollock, you should have came to Tech. You'd have been an H-back. You'd still be playing the NFL. And I'm like, Coach, it kind of worked out okay. Like, it worked out, you know, pretty good. But no, O'Leary did recruit me. But Tech, and here's the thing about Tech, man. Like, they're tough. They're physical. You love the way they play. Extremely well coached. Them in an underdog role, you don't want none of that smoke. Like, Brent Key is 7-1 against, you know, ACC teams as an underdog. Like, that's incredible. Now they got to play as a favorite. They got to keep Haynes King upright. But if you look at that schedule, like, there's no way they have more than one loss going into the Georgia game.
Right.
Like,
right.
They're going to win a lot of football games. And so if you're a Tech fan, man, you should be jacked up because you got a coach that's implemented toughness, that talks tough, that walks tough. That I just love the way he carries himself. And you got an OC that's one of the best in the business. How good does the defense hold up? How much do the injuries affect me? Can Haynes King not try to run through everybody? Like, he's my favorite player probably in all of college football. Exactly. Like, I love the dude. He's my spirit animal. Like, if I'm playing quarterback, I would be him. But, like, stop, like, lowering my throwing shoulder and trying to run through defensive linemen. Right. Like, it's just – it's part of his DNA. But, like, I think, you know, the way they're orchestrating their offense and the way he runs that thing and controls – like, they ran a two-minute drill against Clemson to go take the lead, right? They hit that 55-yard field goal. You don't see very many two-minute drills in all of college football. They didn't throw the ball.
It's true.
They didn't.
It's true, right?
They ran a two-minute drill, and Haynes King runs the ball like 80% of the time. Like, that's just – they know how – Buster Faulkner is so elite at how to take advantage of you and make you, like, look over here, and they slap you with that other hand. Like, it's like rush hour. Which one of y'all kicked me?
Hey, David. David Pollock's with us, guys. Three-time All-American at Georgia. Before we cut you loose, every time – so much. How's your lovely wife Lindsay doing? Because I know she was dealing with some surgery. You put some stuff on social media. A lot of folks asking us how's she holding up and what's going on.
My baby doll is an absolute stud. I knew that when I married her, and Mike, you knew that when you met her, you know, 20 years ago. But like, she's, you know, she's had a couple of surgeries. We're fighting brain cancer, but like, you know, my kids have always looked at me like a superhero, and because I played football and stuff, and now like, they see their mom's scar from ear to ear, and not one complaint, not one tear, not one bit of anger. Like, she's really chosen faith over fear, and it has not changed her at all. And if anything, it's made her, you know, more drive more into her faith and more into loving people and being there for other folks and stuff. So she's doing great. We had a couple surgeries in, and she's back to doing most of the stuff, you know, that she could do. It was really scary for me, Mike, because, Mike, you know the background. Like, Lindsay does everything. Like, everything. I don't know where money is. I don't know where anything is. She looked at me a week and a half, 2 weeks after surgery, and she goes, hey, I'm going to need you to make the decision. And I was like, excuse me? And she was like, I don't have the capacity to make decisions. Like, you're going to need to do this. I was like, we've never done this. I was like, so are you going to get mad at me? Because I don't know how to make decisions. And so, like, you know, it's kind of been like, you know, she's had to, like, back off and not be able to do as much. And now she's back to, like, she told me the other day, she's like, I feel like I'm juggling, like, five balls right now with all the stuff she's got going on, because she's basically the team mom at our high school. And she was like, and I kind of like it because it feels like I can handle things again. So she's doing really, really good. And she's definitely fighting like a ball.
Awesome. Pollock, you know we love you. You know you are in our prayers. You know how we feel about you and your family. And that's awesome, man. It's a blessing. Thank you so much, brother, for joining us today. And go Dogs, man. We're looking forward to tomorrow or Saturday.
Dang right. Go Dogs. See you guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, David.
That's David Pollock. Great stuff, Mike. And it's great to hear that she's doing
well.
Yeah,
man, that's tough for anybody. You know, Matthew Stafford and his wife went through it, and Lindsay and Dave are going through it as we speak.
All right, man, coming up, we're live at Loyal Tavern. Look who just walked in, man, Tinker.
Hey, man, Tinker makes a rare Roswellian appearance.
He is.
Right?
He made it out here. Canton Street is where we're at. Loyal Tavern, guys, come on out. 4th and 1's coming up. We got an NFL game tonight, but the news today is – their quarterback seems like he's feeling better, which could change things Sunday.
Uh-oh.
We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.